science, technology, society, our lives, philosophy, and religion. This is Spark Dialogue Podcast, where it all comes together. I'm Elizabeth Fernandez.
We live in a time when human spaceflight is a normal part of our existence, so much so that sometimes we don't even think about it anymore. At the time of this recording of this podcast, there are three people in space, and sometimes they pass directly over our heads. I'm talking about those astronauts on the International Space Station, who live and work in space for months at a time. Today we're talking to Liam Kennedy, the inventor of a small computer called the ISS above. He hopes that with his invention, we have a reminder of our close connection to space. Welcome to the podcast, Liam.
Oh, it's so nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, you're welcome. So can you tell us a little bit about what the ISS above does?
Sure. Well, the ISS above actually uses a single board computer called a Raspberry Pi. So my invention is really the software that runs on that platform. And the device, you plug it into any TV, and it does two things. One is it provides a visual indication of whenever the space station with those human beings on it is passing you by. And that can happen 5 to 8 times every day for wherever you are on this Earth. And then with it plugged into the TV, it brings a whole bunch of live information and live video views of the Earth from the space station.
Okay. So this video, what kind of things do you typically see when the space station is displaying this feed?
Yeah. So it's the camera feed that I tap into, that I sort of hacked into, not really, is showing live views of the Earth. And it's from a camera platform called the High Definition Earth Viewing Experiment, which is bolted underneath the space station on a European Space Agency module. And it has really three different camera views. It has a front camera view, down, and a rear camera view. So one of those views can show you very clearly the curvature of the Earth. And it's like you're an astronaut sitting on the outside of the space station, you know, with a cup of coffee. and you're hanging out there and just looking at the Earth go by. So you see anything. You see clouds. You see the Sahara Desert. If the camera view that is currently active is the down camera view as it's passing over your location, sort of like directly overhead, which happens quite frequently. So whenever it does that during the daytime and you look at this live video feed, you'll clearly see landmarks and rivers, mountains, or anything that would clearly identify that this space station is really passing by you.
So when you get a notification that the International Space Station is passing overhead and you turn on this feed, can you see your house?
It's a little bit too far up to see that. But just from the context of where I am, near Los Angeles, mm-hmm. So if it's on that down camera view, I can clearly see the Catalina Islands. I can see the major mountain range. Right. And yes, you could run out and wave and then just pretend that that you're in that video feed. You are, really. But it's really quite extraordinary.
Right. So the local mountains, the local rivers, things like that. Can you see any human-made objects at all, or even the outline of towns or farms or things like that?
Not that I've really encountered in a way that I could clearly say that's what it is. So I think I've looked over as it's flying over Egypt, for instance, and I'm thinking, gosh, can I see the pyramids? And you really can't. It's just a blurry mess down there. Right. From 250 miles up.
So in watching this feed, what are some of the most memorable images that stuck with you of things that you saw?
Well, okay, just yesterday, you know, what's going on at the moment is there is Hurricane Matthew. Mm. So as the space station was passing over the Caribbean, of course, I happened to be noting that that was where it was going over. And of course, the live video feed showed very clearly Hurricane Matthew.
Yeah, I bet that's very impressive.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, a few weeks ago, there was a period where there were two hurricanes just east of the Hawaiian Islands. And again, as the space station passed those by, we got to see both hurricanes within a few minutes of one another.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the invention itself. So how does this box actually work? How does it know where the space station is?
Inside the ISS above is a Raspberry Pi computer, which is really just a full computer, but it's just in a tiny format. The device is configured to your location, and then it uses this orbital data to calculate when the space station is passing you by. And that's something that I've written in Python. It was my first Python project, basically.
So I know that many of us have never invented anything, and I'm sure that the plight of the inventor is very complex, and you've gone through some challenging aspects in designing this. So what were some of the most challenging things that you had to overcome to create this machine?
Yeah, so maybe I'll just go back to the very first version of this, because the very first version I created, it was actually before those live video cameras were available. It was in October, November of 2013, and I just wanted a little device that would light up whenever the space station was above. And the challenge at that time was I'd never done anything like this before. I'm a software developer. And I just took each problem as a simple exercise to just see whether I could get it to work. So the challenge was really a case of just finding out how to do something and failing, and then trying another approach and then failing, until I finally got something that was workable. And it took me about just a few days initially to sort of really figure out that I could do the basics of this. And then it was just a matter of trying different approaches mm-hmm. to get things to work. So that very first version, that all it did was light up, I took it to a maker fair in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And that was just because friends of mine said, hey, you should take it to a maker fair. I didn't even know what those were. So I just invited myself along. They gave me a table, and I set up these initial devices that were just flashing whenever the space station was coming over. And I got such a positive impact, a positive response from people at that maker fair. I thought, okay, well, there's obviously something here. And then someone wrote an article, and that article got shared on Reddit. And then the website Hackaday also created an article, and then suddenly I had people emailing me via my website saying, we want one, how do I get it? Mm-hmm. And then that's when I went into a Kickstarter, and the Kickstarter opened in January of 2014, and it reached its funding goal within 3 days, which was pretty quick.
I think it captures a lot of people's imaginations.
Yeah. That was definitely why I created it.
Yeah. So I think your motivation for this invention is actually quite a nice story. So how did you come up with the idea?
I'm really motivated to make sure that my own family is also gets this inspiration too. And I started off with my grandchildren. The way that looks is my 3-year-old grandson at the time, he knew grandpa was into space. So at 3 years old, I wanted him to really be connected with the fact that human beings are living in space and they're passing him by every day, mm-hmm. 5 to 8 times a day. So that was my initial inspiration. And also, we have 4 grandchildren in England, and I would also share with them the same things. I'd say, hey, the space station's coming over. Just head outside the door and look to the left. And we'd count down to when the space station was passing over London. I created the initial versions so that it would be an inspiration for my own grandkids.
Mm-hmm. So there are 3 people on the space station right now at the recording of this podcast. So what is it like? What is their day-to-day life like living on the space station?
What's going on? A lot of people have that question. You know, if you're an astronaut, what are you doing up there? And this is an important part of why I created ISS Above, was to have people have those questions. They are living in space. So everything that you and I do on the ground in terms of basic living is what they get up to. Their typical day starts off at 7 a.m. their time. By the way, the space station runs local time as if the astronauts are living in the UK. They spend a lot of their time working on experiments. They're working on various biomedical experiments. A good example of that is Kate Rubens, who is on the station right now. She is someone who has a PhD in cancer biology, and she's been doing DNA splicing. She's been examining living heart cells and how they operate in space. So that's one side of it, that they're doing experiments. The other side is that you'll also find them having to look after their own bodies. That's because the being in space in microgravity has some very now well-known impacts, negative impacts on the body in terms of bone density loss, in terms of muscle atrophy. Mm-hmm. And the astronauts have to spend a minimum of 2 hours every day doing aerobic and resistance training.
Mm-hmm. So who are these astronauts that are up in the space station right now?
Yeah, so they're at the moment, Kate Rubens is the only U.S. astronaut, and I'm so sorry, I've forgotten the other two names, but there is a Russian cosmonaut and then also an astronaut from Japan. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you hang on a second, I've got an Alexa app.
Okay, no problem.
Alexa, ask ISS Above who is on the space station.
The following crew are aboard the International Space Station. Expedition 49. Cosmonaut Anatoly Vanishin of Roscosmos is the commander. Flight engineers Kate Rubens of NASA, Takuya Onishi of JAXA. The remaining three expedition crew members are currently scheduled to launch to the ISS on October 19th.
I must say that's the first time I've had a computer as a guest on my podcast.
There you go. I've been playing around with creating an Alexa Echo skill. So anyway, so one of the astronauts, as I mentioned, is from Russia. The other one is from Japan. And that really represents what the space station is about. It is the International Space Station. Although they're in space, all of them, the whole purpose of it is to improve what happens here on Earth. And now also a very big part is really working out what needs to happen to ensure that we can get humans safely to Mars and on that trip out there.
Where is the ISS passing over right now? Can you tell us?
Yeah, the space station is just about to pass over Australia.
Australia. Okay, so this is a real thing right now. I mean, at any given time, it actually is above a certain place. So I found it interesting. I heard if you can be, let's say you're on a cruise ship and you're in the middle of the ocean, far away from anyone, it might actually be possible that the closest human beings to you are actually in the International Space Station. And that kind of blew my mind. So how far away is the International Space Station when it is passing overhead?
Yeah, if it's passing directly overhead, it can be as close as 246 miles.
Yeah, it's not that far. Yeah. So why do you think it's so important that people know when the International Space Station is passing overhead?
It comes from the fact that many people are not even aware that we have human beings in space. And even if they do, it's often they're unaware of the fact that these human beings are passing them by 5 to 8 times every day. And I think it makes a difference when people have that astounding fact available to them. It actually brings human beings closer to those human beings who are in space. So those of us who are on the ground, we're just doing what we're doing. We're going on with our lives. And yet, who's passing us by? The human beings who are in that space station, I say that represents some of the best that we can achieve as human beings. It shows how we can work together despite political differences on the ground. We can have a shared goal. We can have a common interest in making the world better. And when you know that those people are passing you by, the knowing of that, at that moment when it's happening, it provides an opportunity for everyone to just take themselves out of whatever's going on in their daily lives and just point to something that is a real contribution to humanity.
Right. And you mentioned earlier in the podcast that the International Space Station was going over Australia. And then you also mentioned talking to your grandchildren in England as the International Space Station passed over. And just before the podcast, I looked at the feed myself and it was going over Peru. And so I imagine this gives people a feeling that their community is part of a larger planet, not just connected with the astronauts above, those people in space, but also the world as a whole as well.
Yes, that's what it's about, actually. It may seem as if it's just all about, hey, this rah-rah, space is cool and all that. It is that. But it is way more than that. Who've been to space, they talk about the overview effect, or basically the effect that an astronaut has looking down at the Earth. And it transforms them to being humans who really have a different way of looking at the Earth. And I think that's what's available. They got another sense of just how precious the Earth is.
So do you want to share with our audience your website if they want to learn more?
So yeah, for any further information, just go to my website, www.issabove.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure to be on here, and I look forward to hearing questions from your listeners.
This is Elizabeth Fernandez for Spark Dialogue Podcast. If you like us, don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Thanks for listening.